Section 1. Just another fat fuck. One-third the size of a cow dressed as an elephant. In 2014, I made a movie called Director's Cut. I wanted to play a bad guy. I wanted to be the psycho villain. I also wanted a villain who was an outsider. In the early drafts of the script, I named the character Herbert Kari, which is Tiny Tim's real name. Tiny Tim is a hero of mine, but he was also an obsessive nut and a bit of a stalker. Maybe he was a bit more than a bit of a stalker. Maybe Tiny was a little dangerous. Tiny Tim had his problems. For the movie, I parted my hair like him and shaved my stupid beard. Tiny Tim didn't have a beard. Tiny was tall, not as tall as me, but still pretty tall. And Tiny was also pretty overweight by the time he was my age. So being fat was good for the part. I was very happy being fat. At the time of that movie, I was the fattest I have ever been in my life. I thought fat was good for the part. If you're listening to this book right when Director's Cut comes out, you might see me on some talk shows pimping this book or read an interview or two with me. If you do, you'll hear me talk about gaining all that weight to play my character, Herbie, in the film. You'll hear me spin how fat I was. I don't like the word spin. I prefer the word lie. I'm going to be implying very strongly, lying, that I gained all that weight to play my character. It's the worst kind of lie, because by the time I'm done with it, I'll believe it. There'll be some truth in it, so I can focus on that little truth until the big truth goes away. The weight sincerely was great for the character, and it really made everything perfect for the movie, but I hadn't spent 30 years getting fat because I was planning to play Herbie. I wrote the script about 10 years before we shot it, but I can't produce any notes that are time-stamped from those days saying, I sure better start eating like a pig to do my best acting. Maybe De Niro just got a hankering for spaghetti while working on Raging Bull and then just spun the press accordingly. By the time you hear this, I will believe that I gained over 100 pounds for my movie, that in order to gain weight for my art, my sacrifice to the muses was to eat everything I saw. I know what it feels like to start spinning, progress to lying, and eventually believe the lies so much you don't even remember how they started as lies. In 2012, I went on The Celebrity Apprentice with Donald Trump, who has hair that looks like cotton candy made of piss. Before the show was over, I published my previous book, Every Day is an Atheist Holiday, which stated that Donnie's hair looked like cotton candy made of piss. I created the most perfect description of Donald Trump's hair ever given by anyone. Hair like cotton candy made of piss is also the phrase that Trumpy said was the reason for my coming in second a year later on All-Star Celebrity Apprentice. I love that about Trump. He comes out and admits crazy shit like that. He doesn't pretend he's not being arbitrary and petty. His charm is arbitrary and petty. It's supposed to be my job as bitter loser to claim that his real reasons were arbitrary and petty, but Trump fucked me on that. He's enough of a real inspired nut that he just says outright what I would have to claim. And after he does that, all I can do is lie more and write that it was just that one joke, which it wasn't. Trump is the hero here, and I'm the bitter loser liar. He just made it easy for me. Part of the final challenge was coming up with an ice cream flavor. If Trump had said that my competitor's ice cream really was better, which it wasn't, I would have had a beef. But nope, he was straightforward and honest, and I'm the weasel. My hair doesn't look like cotton candy made of piss, but it does look like the tail of a pathetic, aging roadkill raccoon. And if you said that to me, I wouldn't let you win a game I was running, even if your ice cream made me come. But I wouldn't cop to the real reason like Trump did. Trump was a better man than I. In this one very specific instance, on his show with me on that exact day, I'm as aware as everyone else that since that one day with me, there is ample evidence that in general, he is at very best the worst person who ever lived. And the best thing about him is that his hair looks like cotton candy made of piss. Believe me, I'm as horrified as you are. My ice cream was better, my marketing is more successful, but I can be rude, weird, and crazy. And I guess I was. So I shouldn't have won. That's fair. But if I'm going to spin that fat ain't my fault, why not lie and say that Donald Trump's temporary, accidentally brave honesty is petty and arbitrary? I'm on a roll, spinning down a hill with my old dead raccoon tail hair blowing in the wind. Because of my arbitrary and petty rudeness to Mr. Trump, The people with intellectual disabilities at Opportunity Village, the charity I played Trump's game for, didn't get the $250,000 first prize. But thanks to Trump's honesty and my dishonesty, others involved with the Celebrity Apprentice wrote checks that actually totaled more than $250,000. Exposure on Trump's show sold a metric shit ton of tickets to the Penn & Teller show at the Penn & Teller Theater in Las Vegas. So I'm a bitter loser who won big by being rude and lying just a little bit. I'm actually the big fat bitter loser because, you know, I gained all that weight to play the part of Herbie in my movie. I'm a real artist, a bullshit artist. I lie like a rug. The ice cream I created, Vanilla Chocolate Magic Swirtle, is still available at some Walgreens locations, but it'll probably be gone by the time this book comes out. As I remember, though, it's really good. I added sea salt, which is just salt, to dark chocolate, swirled that into vanilla ice cream, and threw in some caramel turtle-like candies. It's good ice cream. LaToya Jackson helped me with a great name, and Dennis Rodman let me borrow his palate to get the vanilla base to just the right level of sweet and rich. It tastes great. It's sweet, rich, and comforting. I'd have an argument with my wife and then eat a whole container, and that's the grown-up way to live. It's really good ice cream, and you should try it if you ever get a chance. My share of the money goes to Opportunity Village, and it'll be your favorite food ever. And then you read the rest of this book, and you'll never eat it again. I giveth, and I taketh the fuck away. I take my acting fat seriously. Before the script was really finished, I changed my character's name from Herbert Carey, it's not right to use Tiny Tim's real name, to Herbert Blount, Blount being jazz great Sun Ra's real last name. Sun Ra, another crazy hero of mine, was also really fat. Sun Ra was also from Saturn, so he had an even better excuse than gaining weight for a movie. As part of my dedication to the craft of acting, I'd have big fat steaks at the Musso and Frank Grill in Hollywood. I'd have big fat steaks everywhere. I ate a shit ton of bread and butter and buttered popcorn and candy and grilled cheese with bacon and pizza with bacon. I'd eat dozens of raspberry-filled Krispy Kreme donuts, which I either read somewhere unreliable or made up were Elvis's favorite donuts. Yum! And Krispy Kreme donuts with bacon. Yep, for the past several years, I've hosted Penn Jillette's private bacon and donut party, a private party coincident in time but not associated with James Randi's The Amazing Meeting for Skeptic and Atheist Cats and Kitties in Vegas. I'd give everyone free bacon and donuts and play dirty-ass rock and roll with nearly naked men and women all around me. It's all part of my plan. Sell ice cream. Give away bacon and donuts. Get really fat for a movie. Write this book to inspire all the fat fucks I helped encourage to get that fat. I am Wile E. Coyote, super genius. By the time we were done shooting Director's Cut, I was fat, depressed, tired all the time, and couldn't walk up a flight of stairs without panting. That's what a serious actor I am. At the end of every Penn & Teller show, I'd run up the aisle to the back of the theater and into the lobby to meet audience members, sign autographs, and pose for pictures. And will do so for as long as I'm still lucky enough to have people who want those things from me. At my fattest, at my Herbie movie weight, I couldn't do a very light jog down the five stairs from the front of the stage to the aisle without being winded. Even talking in the show was a bit of a strain. Yep. I'd get winded talking, and all I know how to do is talk. What the fuck? I don't know exactly what I weighed, because when I got that fat, I didn't really weigh myself much, but I was definitely north of 320 pounds. Truth be told, I probably hit 330. If I'm willing to beef up my accomplishments, let's spin that with a little goose and make it 333 and a third, a little more than half the number of the beast and 1/6 of a ton. Yeah, I like that. 1/6 of a ton. Just 6 of me would make a ton. Wow, that's 1/27 of a shit ton. Shit! Around this time, we started using a live cow in the Penn & Teller show in Vegas. A cow isn't a very glamorous animal for the Vegas Strip, so we dress her in elephant drag and call her an elephant. We think that's funny. An American cow with a feed bag trunk to make her look like an elephant. Will that be viewed by future social critics in the same way that we now view blackface? I don't know. I plan to be dead by then. The elephant in our show is the size of a small cow that we call Elsie on stage. The two cows that play the part of Elsie are actually named Gekki and Star. We had nothing to do with those names. And I have no idea how much weight they each gained for the part. Geki weighs 1,117 pounds. That's small for an elephant, and even a little small for a cow. But when The Vanish of Elsie, the African spotted pygmy elephant, went into the Penn and Teller show, Penn weighed about one-third of her fake elephant real cow weight. I was a third the size of a cow dressed as an elephant. I was a fat fuck. I was that fat because I take my acting seriously, and I like bacon. I couldn't run or really talk, and I had hypertension that was supernatural. I used to walk around knocking on 200 for the top number. I never noticed the bottom number, who cares? My permissive doc had me on massive doses of 6 different blood pressure drugs. I got up in the morning and took drugs that made me piss so much and so fast that I couldn't take them before I had a ride to the airport. I had to take them at the airport because it's more convenient to piss 5 times on a flight from Vegas to L.A. than to pull the car over during the 15-minute ride to the airport. Why did I have such bad hypertension? Because it was one-third the size of a cow dressed as an elephant. But I didn't see it that way. I knew that was part of it, but I couldn't believe that was all of it. I figured I would have high blood pressure anyway. My mom and sister had it, and I had some sort of African, Aboriginal American ancestry, and it's, well, you know, genetic. I was born a fat fuck like you were born gay. Jesus fucking Christ, I'm an idiot. My doc would tell me to lose weight, and I knew he was right, but I didn't see myself as fat. Or rather, I saw myself as fat, but didn't see fat as a problem. My job didn't depend on my weight one way or the other. When I got acting jobs, either played myself or a fat guy just like me. Penn and Teller never sold as attractive sex symbols. We didn't have a sex symbol hand to play. My showbiz success was not tied to my weight. I was married and didn't have to worry about getting fucked. Some people didn't use fucking fat as the first two words to describe me because I'm also fucking tall. I'm 6'7", so I'm a big guy. Big guy includes fat, but it's not just fat. I carried my weight really well, except for the blood pressure that was on the verge of making me drop dead or stroke out every second of every day. I was fine. I was happy, except for the constant depression and being winded just thinking about running to play with my children. I was a miserable fat fuck with such a great job, a great family, and wonderful friends that I was theoretically and psychologically happy even at one-third the weight of a cow dressed like a fucking elephant. Oh, the things I've done for art.